Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Cough on the Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you and basically ask you a question as the introduction, and that is, do you believe that you can create? Do you believe that you can create? Now, I know so many people I've talked to in life coaching, I've talked to on the road when I'm ministering all over the globe, and I've talked to so many people, and they've asked me several times, you know, I don't know what to do in my life. My life feels as if it's out of control. My life feels as if it's always full of surprises that are negative surprises. Always, every time I get money, Jeremy, that it seems as if, you know, the money goes away because I have to have a surprise bill that comes up or something I forgot about. And you always find yourself where you're trying to climb the corporate ladder of the kingdom, and yet seems as if something begins to always knock you down. Is that you? You know, can I ask you an honest question? Do you feel as if sometimes you just can't seem to get on top of the game? And be honest with yourself. Just say, you know, yes, I find myself always struggling. You know, life is not about a magic wand where we can just wave it over you and all of a sudden, you know, bam, everything's gone. Everything's great and wonderful and victorious. But yet on the other hand, though, we know that the will of God for our lives is a lot bigger than what you think. You know, I think a lot of times people look at life and they say, well, the will of God for my life is to do this or that. I believe if God's ways are higher than our ways and if His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, what if that He thinks on a more unlimited point of view when it deals with an immeasurable in the sense of being bigger than what we think? What if we look at a will of God as a trail? Now, go with me for a moment. What if we look at God's will as a trail, maybe a small, narrow road that seems as if you dare deviate from that road, then something's going to get you. You know, the devil's going to get you or something to that crazy, you know, magnitude. But what if I told you that God's will is not like a narrow road? If His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, why do we look at God's will as being very small in the sense of maybe, you know, think of a trail, for example, maybe 2 feet in width, and yet maybe miles and miles, you know, in ahead of you that maybe you can't see the end of, but you see that trail. Get that mental picture for a moment of that trail, and imagine that wheel being maybe 2 feet, maybe even 2.5 feet in width, and yet that's how most of us look at God's wheel, as if it's very, very small and narrow, and we look at that thing and we say, well, you know, the Bible says that narrow is the way. Let me tell you something. First of all, you need to understand the Aramaic to understand what that means, and narrow is the way, because it doesn't mean it's very small in the sense of like Dorothy's Wizard of Oz. We're not playing a Star Trek or a Star Wars or sci-fi movie here, folks. We're not looking at that as God saying, I am the God of the universe. In fact, if there are multi-universes, I'm bigger than those because all those are wrapped up in me. And yet for you as a human being on this little tiny, tiny small planet out in the middle of nowhere, so to say, God builds us maybe a 2.5, maybe even if we're lucky, 3 feet in width wheel as far as a trail. That's the image you have gotten and you've projected for your life, is it not? Because we've been told by people who didn't really understand the Aramaic. We've been told by people who like to think in small form without thinking in big form. God of the universe, God is the universe, God is bigger than the universe, God is bigger than anything and everything we've ever known or even can still discover from a scientific point of view, does not look at His images, because we're made in His image and likeness on earth. God doesn't look at His images. The only creation in all of the universe that is made in the very image and likeness of God. And yet for us, He doesn't give you a 2.5, maybe 3 foot in width wheel that looks at that as some kind of path and says, stay true to this. And yet if you deviate from that, all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be off the path. Why? Because God did not pull the wheel and the path, you know, for us from a sci-fi movie called The Wizard of Oz. Stay on the yellow brick road, Dorothy, and if not, the devil's going to get you, or the witch is going to get you. The wicked witch of the east is going to get you, you know? No. It's not. not about that. God didn't formulate the wheel, folks, from the movie. The movie, if anything, could have had some type of pull from some type of religious thinking of something small and narrow-minded, if we can use that terminology. Yes, small and narrow does not mean what you think it means. And so when you look at the will of God for you, I asked you a question earlier, and that was, do you believe you can create? And the answer should be absolutely. Now, why did I bring the wheel into this picture? Because many of you feel as if I can create, but I can only create out of, and what do you get in your imagination? Instantly, a small, narrow-minded view. We'll say narrow-minded because it's a small, narrow road. It's minded and mindfulness. In other words, you're being mindful of a small, narrow way and a small, narrow path. And yet, we don't stop to realize God's will is not that minute, folks. It's not that minimized. It's not that small. Do you think the God of the universe, out of all the millions of creatures we're still discovering from a scientific point of view in a microscopic world, we're still discovering even small little tiny animals that we didn't even know existed, of thousands upon millions, so to say, and yet we have 7 billion people on Earth. There are more mountains than we can count, more valleys than we know of. There are seasons. There's places on the Earth. Can you imagine? Go with me for a moment. There are places in the uttermost parts of the Earth, in the deepest, darkest forest of Africa, that men has still not yet discovered. Now, that blows my mind. Does it not yours? Knowing the fact that we have 7 billion people, and yet there's places on Earth we still haven't even put our foot on yet. And you know why? Because of the fact God's will is not that small, because He makes everything big. Don't you think God's will is bigger than what you can perceive? Because He says, I can outdo what you're able to ask or think. If you think narrow, guess what, folks? Your wheel will be narrow. But if you think on a larger scale, you know, if you think on a larger scale, if you see God big, God will be big to you. If you see God as being small and religious and us for no more mentality, that's what God's going to be to you. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, which means your environment, your world will be created by your narrow-mindedness. Your world will be created and will bow down. Listen to me for a moment. The world you create will bow down to your perception. The world you create will bow down to your narrow-mindedness, and it will, and therefore, guess what you'll do? You'll have to be governed by the own law, your own laws in which you create for yourself in your own creative world. Now think about that for a moment. Did you hear what I just said? The world you will create by your small, narrow-minded way of thinking, you will create and govern, because a king of a kingdom always governs the people by the laws in which he creates. And that whether it's by ruled or the majority or whether it is from his own mouth, he will create for his world and for his kingdom what it is that he wants to see within that kingdom. And the people must abide by the rules or else. Are you with me? So you're a co-creator in God. You're creator. And knowing that you are creator, trying to create out of the mind of Christ, the mind of God that God has given you, guess what, folks? You can create so much more bigger than what you imagine or thought possible. You have to outdo and overdo and make bigger what your old mind, before you heard this message, listen to me now, before you heard the messages that you've been hearing recently on the power of thought, the power of the mind, you know, moving in the sense of knowing and realizing that God is much bigger than what you thought. You'll be held accountable for that. You'll be held accountable for the bigger messages and the bigger things that you think and you're hearing. And what does that mean? It means that when you are, that means you will create for your own world, your own laws, your own governing powers that be, and you'll have to abide by the very thing that you created for yourself in limitation. Hello, you will have to obey the very laws of the land in which you create for your own world, your own land and your own world, and you'll be governed by the very things that you said against yourself and for yourself in a small, minute, narrow-minded way for yourself. And yet one day you'll look back and you'll say, why can't I find a mate? And instantly the image in your spirit will pop up, because it's a narrow, tiny, small, minute, 2.5, 3 feet road. Or you'll say to yourself, I don't know what business to start, God. I don't know what to do in my life, God. I can't find out what I'm supposed to do in my life, God. And you know why? Because instantly the image or the idol. Idols are not, you know, let me just stop there for a moment. Idols are not Buddha, statues of Buddha. Idols are not statues of, you know, Hindu gods, for example. You know, they're not, those are not idols, folks. Those are wooden and concrete and rock formulated into statues that people empower them by the power of thought, by the power of, I'm going to create an idol, and for me it'll be an idol because I'm going to empower it to be the image or the expression of the God that I either have mustered up, created for myself, or is the real deal for me. And so therefore you empower that statue to become an idol for you. That's why we're not Old Testament people, we're New Testament people. So the New Testament, guess what? It's not about the Ten Commandments that we quote unquote have to live by, because we live on a higher scale of love. And when you move on a higher scale of love, then the other Ten Commandments you won't live by. You just don't want to break because you love God. Are you with me? See, there's a difference between love. I move in a law of love than I do in a law of having to bow down to those laws. Big difference, folks. Many of you are bowing down to laws when I'm not. I'm not bow down to those laws. I'll bow down to the highest law of love Jesus established. Therefore, I don't want to do those other ones because my love supersedes and overrides the law. Now, I said all that to say this. So in the Old Testament, it says, thou shalt not create a graven image. The New Testament doesn't deal with that. New Testament deals with spiritual things, not natural things. That which is first is natural, afterwards that which is spirit. I'm telling you all this for a reason. So Old Testament represents natural, New Testament represents spirit. So in the spirit world or spirit realm or New Covenant, New Testament, whatever you want to call it that we live in today, you in your mind empower and create what it is that you want in your life. So the power of creation is going to be according to your perception of your limitedness or your unlimitedness. Are you with me? If you see God as being unlimited and you see the sheet that was handed down to Peter as God saying, don't call unclean what I now call clean. What is that? A limited versus an unlimited. A limitation versus an unlimitation. So guess what? How are you viewing the sheet? How are you viewing your world? How are you viewing the will of God? How are you viewing your world that you're creating out of the perception of what you've been taught? Because what you are doing is you're living in your own limited world, and it's crushing you. Hello. It is crushing and destroying you. And God says, as a man thinketh in his heart. Now, people always say, go by the heart. I was interviewing a lady the other day who wrote a book that actually is a very, very good book, and it deals with quantum physics and quantum thinking. And I love the book. Very, very powerful. But, you know, we don't stop to realize something she said. She says, we're always taught to go by the heart, but yet we don't talk to people about going through the mind first, but yet the mind is what actually puts the thoughts into formation and definition that creates the very law, so to say, of the heart that you live your life by. Now, think of it that way. So, you have to be trained first. If somebody educates you to say, adultery is not right, it's wrong, we shouldn't do adultery, you shouldn't cheat on your wife, you shouldn't cheat on your husband, then you go, wow, you know what, I didn't know that. You formulate that definition, you get it buried deep in your heart, and your heart translates it into love to say, I don't want to do these things because I love my spouse. Are you with me? So you learn to the education that's considered more law, legalistic. That's why it doesn't stay in the mind, but it goes to the heart, to where the heart can translate it into the power of love. I don't want to do that law because I love. Therefore, it's no longer law to me. I just don't do it because I love. And love covers a multitude of sin. Hello. And so when you look at that, I know many of you are grabbing some stuff right now. And you'll probably want to go back and listen to this broadcast over and over again, because I'm going to tell you a lot of stuff today, as I have been. So when you look at all of that, you have to remember, the world I'm creating is going to be governed by the mind that I have decided of what I've been hearing and information and definition and revelation of what God's poured into my spirit is going to be governed by. So, I don't want any idols, okay? I don't want any idols. And the idols I've created for myself has been limited, small, narrow-minded, 2.5, 3 feet paths that I say to myself, oh my goodness, because God is a mean God, or God is going to get me if I dare follow the yellow brick road and get off of it. You know, I've got to stay on this path. And so you govern your life out of fear, out of anxiety, out of God being mean, out of God being, I'm going to get you. But you don't look at God as being overwhelmingly loving. You don't look at God as being overwhelmingly big in His wheel. See, you know, it's the idea of this. And I'm a firm believer in this. If you're a creator, I don't believe that people say that God has one person, one particular woman, or one particular man out of the entire 7 billion people. And guess what? You have to be led by the Spirit to find that one person. Think about that for a moment. You have to find that one person out of 7 billion people, and that's the absolute perfect will of God. I don't believe that. I believe God's perfect will is much bigger than one. God created 7 billion people. Now, can I define that? No, it's mysterious. But you can't define. You have to say to yourself, it's still mysterious, that you have to find your whole life, which would rack your brains out, that one individual person of 7 billion people. My question to you would be this. If that's the truth of the reality, isn't it strange that the majority of people that you know of, probably including you, happen to get lucky to find your spouse in your own culture? Wow, isn't that just sort of ironic? Isn't it ironic that you happen to find out of 7 billion people the one that you're called to marry, usually within your own city, much less your own state, much less your own nation? Wow, isn't that ironic? Is that just luck for you or what? No, because see, God knows. What if God told you that you are to marry an Indian woman, or you're to marry a woman from Uganda, or you're supposed to marry a gentleman that lives in Japan right now that is Japanese in nature? Guess what? Let me ask you this question. And you really think the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you and say, I need you to get on an airplane, get a flight out, and then you're going to go to Japan, as huge as Japan is, and then just the ounce of luck, you're going to run into a coffee shop in the middle of Japan in this certain city, and when you walk in at this precise timing, then you'll find the mate of your dreams God has for you out of 7 billion people. Come on, folks. No, because the Bible makes it plain, and I'm telling you this for a reason, folks. The Bible makes it plain that when it deals with the wheel versus the creation of our own existence, that we're as co-creators, the Bible says what? It says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So guess what? That blows your theory, does it not? Yes, it does. It blows your theory of finding that one person of God's perfect will. When God says, look, I'm not picky. Find the mate of your dreams. And that's what Jesus says. The Bible makes it plain. God says what? He who finds a wife. So you're gonna go and you're going to find a wife. It doesn't even say a gender. It doesn't mean, I'm not a gender. It doesn't say a culture. It doesn't say an age bracket. It says what? He who finds a wife, hey, you're going to find a good thing. It doesn't even say a godly thing. So see, I deal with this in life coaching a lot. I don't know what to do. I can't find the one that God has for me. And I say, you will never find the one God has for you, because you are a co-creator in the Creator's existence, if that makes sense, knowing that you are called to create in your own existence from God's presence and God's will to go and find. You've got the mind of Christ. Go and find a woman that you're compatible with. Go and find a woman that believes like you. Go and pray about it and ask God just to sort of bring you to somebody that is good. The Bible never says even he who finds a wife finds a godly thing. And yet, guess what? You want her to be godly, do you not? But it doesn't even say godly. Why? Because Jesus is not religious. Okay? He says, I go about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. We make good as being bad. And we have to say, and yet what's better than good is God. That's not the case, folks. Jesus went about doing good. And he says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. The Bible says, focus upon things that are good, of good report. It doesn't even say godly report. So three different places God uses the word good as opposed to godly. Why? Just to let us know, folks, don't be so religious. Don't be so religious. You're led by my Spirit. Have fun with your life. You're led by my Spirit. You're going to find the things you need in your life according to my will and purpose. Don't worry about that. But don't beat your head up over it, and don't think it's, demonic trying to hold you back from finding that perfect woman or man of God, you know, or the business you're looking for, or the home you're looking for. The devil's not involved in your life as you think he is. Here's what I tell people. You're not that important. no pun intended, folks, but you're not that important. I'm not that important for the devil to be after me. Whatever you think the devil is, he's not going to be after just you or me. If the devil is what we think he is, then he's got a huge world thing to deal with. I don't think he's going to be dealing with small folks. I think he's going to be dealing with the governments and the presidents and the people that are in big positions that make big world decisions. So folks, I'm not being bad or ugly, but a lot of times it's just your flesh. So don't be so religious about it. Go and find what it is that you're looking for. Know the will of God is bigger than what you think it is. And that way you can create the world with the godly principles, good principles, finding health and wealth and prosperity and good things and thinking about things and praying for the sick and having the business of your dreams. Find these things, folks, that God says, look, I wish above all things you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Does he say, I wish above all things that you'd find the perfect will of my Father, to find that one entrepreneurial anointing that you need that only can make you money? No. God is not as picky as you think he is, folks. God says, I've made this earth. Wonderfully and fearfully I've created you. I made this planet for your pleasure. So go and have a good time in life. Worship me in the process. Let me be the Lord of your life. Take me with you, and I'll run things in your life, but I want you to create the world that you want to see happen in your life. Don't worry about a mistake. If you're worried and scared to make a mistake, then stop looking at God being fearful and mean to you. God's a loving God. God knows. The Bible says the righteous will fall 7 times, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. What does that mean? It means God's already set you up. No offense, folks, but God says, look, basically you're going to fall 7 times. You're set up. You're going to fall 7 times. Don't worry about it. Get over yourself, because I'm going to deliver you. So it's okay. Not a big deal. Chill. And that's what I think Christians should do now. We need to take a chill pill and realize God wants the very best for us in our lives. And he wants us to turn this world around to where we can see the goodness of God's kingdom manifest in the earth. And that's what he wants for us. He wants us to be sons and daughters of the Most High God that goes about healing and doing good and raising the dead and starting new businesses and making the money we need to feed the poor and taking care of the widows down the street and being and doing good to people. So change the way you've been thinking about God's will. God's will is powerful. Folks, it's not a narrow little path you went on as a child. It's a lot bigger. Do you think God's blessings could be contained in a 2.5 by 3 foot path for your life? Absolutely not. It's about a huge, mighty, powerful blessings after blessings after blessings after blessings and a harvest that God has stored up just for you. Hey, by the way, folks, before we end the broadcast, I have a great, great, great brand new book for you today. I just released it like 2 days ago. It's a thick book. You'll love it. It's called, check this out. Are you ready for this one? And once again, don't freak out if you're religious, because we're not worshiping terminology. We're worshiping biblical godly thoughts, okay? My new book is called The Law of Attraction, The Universal Power of Spirit. Let me tell you again, The Law of Attraction, The Universal Power of Spirit. Folks, you're going to love this book. I go into details in the Bible how this is so amazingly accurate. My first book ever on the Law of Attraction. Now, we have the Powerful Law of Attraction course, which I wrote a book in there as well, but this one deals with the actual power of the Law of Attraction that works in the Bible and where you can find it. You've got to get this book, folks. Brand new. Ebook and book. Go to my website right now. You can go to identitynetwork.net and order The Law of Attraction, subtitled The Universal Power of Spirit. Order your book or your ebook today, folks. All right. Hey, until next broadcast, go and create. Have an amazing week. We bless you. We love you. We'll talk to you soon.